you need to know how to set yourself apart from the typical UI designer. Any designer can create UI for a mobile app and make it successful, but these key things will set you apart because even though I mentioned them, not everyone does them. You're listening to the UI Narrative Podcast, the bi-weekly podcast that shares how industry-leading designers got started in interface design and how they create successful user-centered experiences. And I'm your host, Tolu Ajayi. Let's get started. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the UI Narrative Podcast. Man, I'm so excited for this episode because you're going to learn so much and you need to take notes for this episode or go ahead and click save wherever you're listening. I'm taking you step by step on how to design the UI for a mobile app. Through my years of 5 years in the creative industry, I've learned that sometimes you have to go the extra mile to make your client's product successful. There's some decisions about the product that are out of your control, but it's still your job to make the final product's design be successful. So I've been a graphic web designer for about 5 years and UI designer for one, but a lot of the knowledge I gained from designing for web overlapped into this new role. At my current job, all I do is create mobile apps, and I want to share what makes UI on a mobile app successful. So we'll discuss what the workflow for a UI designer looks like and how to set yourself apart from the typical UI designer. So before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to those of you that have given me reviews via Instagram. So this one's from Drake. He said, so I just listened to episode 2 and I really like what you are doing, Tolu. You are mad professional and it's just fun and informative to hear folks in the creative field talk about experience. So thanks again for this comment, Jake. I really appreciate your support. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and would like to leave a review, go to the UI Narrative episode screen and there's a write a review button located towards the bottom. For my Android friends, if you listen on Spotify, you can leave a review on my website. So go to uinarrative.com/podcast. Click on an episode, and once you're on that page, there's a place to leave comments on the bottom of the page. And you don't have to make an account to comment, just fill out your name and email so I can reply back and select comment as a guest. You can also leave reviews on SoundCloud, Spreaker, Stitcher, or you can email me directly at hello@uinarrative.com. Absolutely love hearing from you guys. So keep the feedback coming. It really helps me know what type of topics you're interested in. And also lets me know who I'm talking to directly. And you know the goal of this podcast is to inspire and educate those interested in UI design. So no matter if you're just starting out or if you've been in the industry for 10 years, I'd love to hear what you think. All right, so let's dive into what makes a mobile app user interface successful. The number one thing is communication. There needs to be a strong communication between you and the other people working on the app. So I'm talking about the UX designer, product manager, developers, and the stakeholders. From the initial project kickoff to launch day, your strong communication is a key to success. So let's break this down into what needs to be included in these conversations. Before you start designing anything, you need to have an understanding of what the user's goal is and what the stakeholder's goal is and how they align. They should already have been decided and discussed between the UX designer, product manager, and stakeholders before a UI designer is brought into the conversation. But sometimes you'll be put in a situation to be a part of creating what the user's experience will be. But most of the time, that's decided before the UI designer is brought into the project. Okay, so let's say that you have the goal and the user and the stakeholders finalized. Next, you need to see if the UX designer or the project manager has created the user flows yet. This is vital conversation because if you start designing without the user flows, then you could run into the issue of screens being incomplete because it doesn't accommodate for every action the user will take. Also, this will cause you to be designing in a circle, and who wants to do that? Not me. So if there are no user flows, then you get the joy of creating them, which is a part of what UX designers do. So I guess you could call yourself a UI UX designer. So some of you may not know what a user flow is. A user flow describes the steps a user must take to achieve their goals. Remember how we talked about how you need to know the users and stakeholders' goals before you even start designing them? This is why. Without that knowledge, then you're designing the user flows based off your own interests and then the design as well. So having the user's goal in mind will help you know what type of actions are needed for each screen. When you start designing, having the stakeholder's goal in mind will help you understand if the visual design of each screen is going to help the user's action be in favor of the stakeholder. We'll go over this some more in a little bit, but all right, so you have your user flows now. Now you need to break down what will go on each screen. At this stage, I'm not designing anything. I like to have a bullet point list of each screen name and write out each element needed on that screen. Once I have this done, it's time to have a conversation with the developers. This conversation is challenging because we discuss what APIs are actually available to be used in the app. So an example of what an API is, imagine you had a Google Sheets doc with data of restaurant locations. To display this information on a map, in an app, you would need to make a call to the API to display it. The code from the app will tell the API what part of the API to show. So if you wanted to have filters by state, then the API would need to have filters in the Google Sheets. Of course, an actual API is so much more complicated than that because you have multiple softwares talking to each other. But if you're still lost, let me know and we can talk more deeply about it. API complications are why I highly recommend the user flows and screen element breakdown before designing anything. I've had several times where I went straight to designing after I got the user flows and have been disappointed because a cool feature I added, like a filter, can't be created. And it sucks because you have this awesome looking design, but you have to change it to something else. And this can happen multiple times in the process if you don't have that conversation. The developers typically have fair reasons why they can't code the design you've requested. For example, the filter I wanted to do couldn't be done because the APIs didn't have that filter capability built. So it's not something that could never be done. It's just a request that takes several months to build, which would cause a delay in the app launch. So you see why it's not a logical request for launch, but maybe it's like a feature release down the pipeline instead. All right, so you have an idea of what APIs will work with the app. Now you need to know what system you're designing for, Android or iOS or both. All the apps I've created so far have been one app, two platforms, which isn't the typical way to go, but that's the way the developers like it done at my company. The main thing you need to know is if the UI will need to change between platforms so you can adjust the UI accordingly. Now that you've got the goals, user flow, and screen content broken down, it's time to start sketching or wireframing. And speed should determine how quickly you should do one versus the other. So most of the time I wireframe instead of sketching because when you have like 20 plus screens to go through, it's such a time suck to start sketching out each one. And I like to put in all the details when I'm sketching, so I just be wasting time. Especially since you'll be user testing during this phase. I like to use the Sketch app to wireframe just because it's what I currently work the fastest in. And I would recommend a software to use, but honestly, it just depends on where you are right now and what will help you get through the wireframes quickly. So the reason you want to do them quickly is because you don't know how many times you'll need to change something around to actually meet the user's goal. And you honestly won't know if the user's goal is actually being met until the user testing proves that is correct. In these wireframes, you'll be creating the basic layout of where the content will go on the screen. And remember the screen element breakdown list that we went over, this comes in handy because when you have that, you can knock these out pretty quickly. Usually the UX designer and or project manager are the ones who would create these wireframes or sketches. So usually the wireframes have already been created along with the user flows. And they do this so they can quickly put together a prototype without needing to waste the designer's time with the constant iterations. They use these prototypes for user testing, and after the user testing is complete, they come to you with the results of what needs to be created for each screen. So this means that they should have also had a conversation with the developers before handing the screens to you, because if they've already did all the things we discussed, then you should be ready for mockups. But that isn't always the case, which is why I wanted you to be prepared for if the UX designer or product manager doesn't exist at your company, or if they didn't do all those things I mentioned, which are really important. So, yay, the fun part. The reason I became a UI designer, it's time to create those beautiful mockups. So I use Sketch for mockups as well. And I love using it because it's how I started off creating my first UI designs. And I'm really comfortable using the software. So I think you should use whatever software you're comfortable with and whatever you feel you'll be able to create the best UI design possible. When it comes to creating mockups, try to use more than just lorem ipsum and fake imagery. I've had instances where once the real content is put in, it breaks the design because either they have too much or too little content. So it's best to try to get as much real content that you can. And this includes asking for the brand guide. And if it's a redesign, you can try using that content from the previous product. Sometimes that helps out as well. So another mock-up tip is to make sure you're keeping your screens consistent. Check that your alignment correlates with the other screens, man. Once you get the first 5 screens down and have a good idea of what you want the brand to look like, make sure the styles you're using are consistent. I highly suggest creating a design system with all the icons, fonts, colors, gradients, shadows, anything that you want to use. Just so you have a good way of keeping track of if each screen is looking like the other one. And I mean, I know sometimes like when you're creating, it's like, oh, this could look better in this way. But it's, you know, sometimes it's best to just keep what looks good instead of just eyeballing it. So there's also another round of user testing in the mock-up phase. So you may not have to create all the screens in the app yet. Just be designing the vital ones used for prototyping. So prototyping is a simulation of the product. So in the user interview with the UX designer or product manager, the user will be asked more questions about their experience using the app. So you probably won't be creating any more screens until the user testing is done. For prototyping, I like to use Marvel or Envision. There's so many choices out there today that I've only worked with those two, but in these programs, you're able to add functions to the images and make them perform like a real app would. It's pretty cool. Once they have feedback from the users and stakeholders, there may be some changes you need to make in the design, and some will be design related while some will be user experience related. If you have concerns about the feedback you're receiving on your UI designs, I have a solution just for you that will help you improve your visual design. Have you ever received the bad feedback on your mobile app designs? Yeah, me too. I know how much it sucks to receive negative feedback on a design I've worked so hard on, and I still reflect on the first time my work was called ugly over 7 years ago. I was determined to become a better designer, so I created a grading system to see just how bad I was. And once I graded myself, I realized where my problem areas were and began to focus on improving them. 7 years later, and I'm still using this system at my corporate job for every project. Since I've started using this grading system, I'm able to have the confidence in knowing I presented my best work to my clients and my boss. I created this layout grading system to help you find clarity on how to decipher feedback and improve your designs. In this guide, we go over industry-tested best practices that I use in my day-to-day and reveal where your problem areas are. Then we proceed with action steps on how to improve your designs. You have the power to change negative feedback into something positive. Visit uinarrative.com/grading system to start improving your designs today. That's uinarrative.com/grading system. I'm super excited to share the methods that helped me turn my designs into something exceptional, and I can't wait to see it do the same for you. So after you make the updates based on the feedback you receive, there's usually about one more round or so of user testing. And once all the user testing is done, then you'll go into beast mode to create all the screens imaginable. The main thing to remember when you're creating 100 plus screens for an app is to layer your artboards and layer appropriately. Please, I beg you. Be mindful that you may not be the only designer that ever works on this project. If you hand your project to me with a bunch of layer 12 copy, 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 I will find you and set your computer on fire. I'm not joking. Okay, I'm joking. Okay, but I'm dead serious for real. Like, please, for the sake of UI designers everywhere, say it after me. Name your layers. I repeat, name your layers, please. I can deal with the artboards not being in chronological order, but no layer names? Oh, hell no. We got beef. Let's go. We're going to see what those hands can do today. Post up. We fighting. All right. So when you're done designing the screens, there will be a handoff to the developers. To prepare for this handoff, you need a way for the developers to understand how to code what you've given them. I like to use Zeppelin as my main handoff platform because it's compatible with Sketch and it's also compatible with other softwares too. The developers can use Zeppelin to see the percentages for the JSON, and they can also see the design style guide for the consistency because it's so easy for the developers to just kind of design things on a whim. So I just like to have that standard of like, this is what it's supposed to look like everywhere in the app. If you don't use Zeppelin, then you have to go through the painful process of annotating every single screen, which is, oh my God, it's, no, don't do it to yourself, for real. This means you'll have a guide on every screen of what the font weight is, size and color and line thickness and image and icon sizes and so on. And ain't nobody got time for that. So use a platform like Zeppelin or whatever suits you. I mean, why put yourself through that stress? For real. You'll also be handing off all the imagery included in UI design. So Android and iOS use different image tags. So this is why you need to know what type of systems you're designing for before you start so you can export your images correctly. So I recommend naming your icons and imagery appropriately and think of all the possible conflicts for duplicates. And oh, don't forget to optimize, for real. Don't forget to optimize. I recommend using image optim, O-P-T-I-M, and TinyJPEG to optimize your images. When an app has unoptimized images, it will cause it to run slowly. This is because it'll have a hard time loading the heavy imagery, so it's a very important step. Now that the developers have all that they need, they'll start coding, and you'll probably run into situations where the developers need extra screens for things like empty states or error messages, or confirmations. These screens can be easy to forget about in the initial content breakdown part because unless you encounter the issue or how would you know, you know, or unless you code it, how would you know? You may never see that screen while using the app. It just depends on, you know, what you're tapping on and looking at. For instance, I just ran into an issue recently where I had put in the wrong information for a card. And then there was an error screen for, oh, I didn't put in this right part. But it's like, oh, well, usually I put it in right. So how would I have known that there was an error screen for that? Once the app is coded, it's important to compare the app to the mockups. It's your job to make sure the developers are matching the code to the design. Speak up if you see misalignment or missing content. Most developers don't have an eye for design details, so you gotta let them know, all right? When the app is getting close to the final stage, you'll be asked to create app store images, which are fun to make. You'll make them for the Apple Store or Google Play or both. Important thing to look up is the requirements for both. I'll have them linked in the show notes, but the main thing that will get your app rejected, trust me, I know, from the Apple Store is if you don't use the correct device in your screen size mockups. I've tried to use the iPhone X for the 5.5 display mockups, and it got rejected because of that. So make sure your device matches the screen size mockup. There's only two for the Apple App Store, and it's a 6.5 inch with the iPhone XS Max device and the 5.5 inch with iPhone 6 Plus, 7 Plus, or 8 Plus device. So Google Play is more laid back. I ain't in no trouble for now. But so you won't really run into any issues if you look at their guidelines. But I'll have them in the show notes as well. You'll also need to provide an app icon. Those are pretty straightforward. All you need is to have the correct size and follow the rules. And I'll have links to those for Apple and Google Plays in the description as well. So, yay! You've launched your first app. Woo, woo, woo! Now what? feature updates. An app isn't usually launched with every feature that's intended because it'll take years to put out for some of them. So instead, it's launched with the MVE, which aka is Minimal Viable Experience. And the focus has shifted from the features to the customer's experience. Is the user able to achieve their goal in an easy and intuitive way? Now that the app's launched, you'll be working on the feature updates to the app. And maybe there are some new APIs that have been built that can support like a new filter UI or the user testing with the live app. Your teams discover that there's a certain screen that can be combined with another one to speed up the user's flow. I think this part is fun because you get to make the updates that will benefit the user's experience. All right, so I have some tips on how you can stand out as a UI designer, and we'll discuss them after this short break. Did you listen to this episode before it launched? My email club members are the only people who get access to this behind-the-scenes information. They're the first to know when I post a new blog post, launch new products, and I also share clips of the next podcast episode. This weekly email is a way for you to see the behind-the-scenes of what new things are coming to UI Narrative. I also share my weekly UI UX inspirations, tips, and challenges. So you get to see what my creative process is like each week. So this next episode is about... Oh wait, I can't tell you! You have to join the UI Narrative Email Club to hear more. You can join at uinarrative.com/email club. That's uinarrative.com/email club. I have a lot to tell you, so I can't wait to talk to you soon. Now that you know how to create a successful mobile app user interface, you need to know how to set yourself apart from the typical UI designer. Any designer can create UI for a mobile app and make it successful, but these key things will set you apart because even though I mentioned them, not everyone does them. All right, so the first thing I want to tell you is do your research. Understand what the stakeholders' missions and goals are for the app. Most designers just do as they're told and don't ask questions. So stay curious and learn about the mission for this app that you're making. Get really familiar with the UI design language. This will help you a lot with naming the files and several conversations you'll be having. So learn what the components and control names are in the UI. It's not a rectangle where they put their name. It's a text field component. And I'll leave a link in the notes for a resource that I use to keep up with the latest UI names. Number two, make your UI consistent. Create a design system for your UI. This shows your professionalism and also makes your handoffs much simpler. Also, all future designers who work with you will love you and your files. Organize your files. Give everything an appropriate name. I mean... You know how I feel about that. I have my lighter in my hand, so. All right, I'm just kidding. Number three, be agile. There will be updates for the screens, and some of the turnarounds need to happen fast because there's a usability issue with the UI. So just be open to working quickly. Features change, goals change, dates move, and some things just don't work out as intended. So be patient and understanding that nothing is really final, and nothing's really a final version. Number four, follow up. If something doesn't look right in the app, speak up. Give constant feedback to developers instead of blaming them for launching an app that doesn't look good. If you didn't provide them direction and have open communication with them on why something doesn't look good, then how are they supposed to fix it? Lend them your designer eyes and help them get it right. It takes some time. Sometimes you have to sit next to them and point here and there. It feels like micromanaging, but really like the developers are appreciated because they want the app to be successful just like you do. So help them out. Be on the lookout for unaccounted screens. When you're demoing the app, look for error screens, empty states, or any screens your team may have missed. It'll help the process later on with turnaround times. It'll help you have less anxiety. Number five, communication. I mean, what more can I say? Ask questions and get answers. And speak up. I don't know how many times I gotta say it. If you see a problem in the app, you know what to do. All right, so we've come to the end. I've gone over a lot of things, but the main points I want you to take away from this episode are: creating an app is a team effort. I hate to see the blame passed around when an app isn't successfully launched. If you didn't voice your concerns in the process of creating the app and tried your absolute best to fix issues, then you can't really complain about the app not being successful. Communication is everything, period. Try to set yourself apart as a UI designer. I gave you the tips, so you have no excuses. I want to leave you with this quote: expecting things to change without putting in any effort is like waiting for a ship at an airport. I don't know who that quote is by, but I think it's relevant for all the things I've been telling you today. If you want your app to be successful, well, now you know how. Follow all these steps I gave you and you can put in the effort to make it happen. Do you have any questions about getting started with UI design for mobile apps? Let me know by sending me an email at hello@uinarrative.com and I'd love to help out. So please share this episode with people if it benefited you in any way, or if you know someone who would love some help with mobile app design. Also, don't forget to write a review, leave a rating, and subscribe, because it's the best way to let others and me know the benefits of this podcast in your life. So I'd love to hear about the apps you've made or questions you have about getting into UI UX design. So feel free to DM me or email me, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Take care, friend. Thank you for listening to the UI Narrative Podcast. If you like what you hear, make sure to show this podcast some love by commenting and subscribing where you listen. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at UI Narrative, or Twitter at UINarrativeCO. I also respond to emails at hello@uinarrative.com. Talk to you later. Bye!